Hey friends, it's Simon Hurley and
Rena Kay,
and we are here with our second episode of our podcast with special guest
Gina Kay from Gina Kay Designs.
And we are so excited to have her here to kind of get to know a little bit more about her and chat with her as we're coloring in stamped images. We're using colored pencils and Gamsol, and we're going to be using my Caroling Squad stamp set to color in some images as we chat together. And we also wanted to update the name of our podcast. We're going to now call it Stamp With Us, so we're just changing it after the first episode, and we hope you guys love the new name as much as we do.
You're going to see a couple things around the set change every now and then, so...
We're still learning as we go.
The name, hopefully this is final.
Here's the new change. There's a person...
This is our latest change. Yeah. We're so excited that Gina Kay could be here and took time out of her very busy schedule to be with us and answer some of our questions. So we hope you guys enjoy it, and we hope you enjoy it.
Mm-hmm. Oh, it's going to be a lot of fun. I absolutely love this stamp set, Simon.
Thank you so much.
And I have to say, I am so impressed with your line.
Thank you.
Your inks and all these fantastic stamps and stencils, and I'm really excited to be able to color this one.
Thank you so much. Yeah, it's so much fun to be able to kind of draw those, and now coloring with you guys in the images that I drew is a ton of fun.
And compliment me now.
Oh, okay.
It's about me. It's always about Simon.
I'm really excited because we're going to use some Gamsol today. And Gamsol with colored pencils is really one of my favorite techniques. I don't know about you guys, but I think Gamsol is really great, especially if you're more of a beginner colored pencil user, because it allows you to do lots of blending and shading, and you really only need one pencil to create a whole range of shaded looks.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to just start by coloring. I like to color just the perimeter of the design.
That's where I was going with it, too.
Yeah?
Me,
mm-hmm.
too.
And then
I've watched my share of StampTube videos.
Oh, have you?
A couple. Sometimes I walk in the background of them while you're filming.
The best is when Rena was little, I remember when I was doing Stamp TV videos at home. Our humble beginnings, we used to have a whole studio set up in our living room, and that's where we recorded all of the videos. And whenever I would record the videos, I would tell the kids that they couldn't use the bathroom.
No bodily functions that make noise.
You can't flush the toilet. You can't turn the water on. Just everybody has to be quiet, and then I'd record the video. So this is kind of nice.
That's a great transition to our first question.
Uh-oh.
Which is, how did you get started in the stamping and scrapbooking industry?
How did I get started? Well, you know, I got started probably like tons of your viewers. I went to a home party.
Oh, yeah.
And I had a friend that was having this party. And just like a lot of the home parties, you don't really go because necessarily you're interested in mm-hmm. what's at the party. You go to support your friend. And then you get to learn about some fun new products. So I got
there
this.
No Gamsol in
it? I was like struggling to open it for like a good 2 minutes.
I didn't want to ruin the story.
Well, I got started in the stamping industry, probably like a lot of your viewers. I went to a home party, one of those parties where you go and you have a little workshop and you make a couple of cards, and there's a demonstrator and she teaches you a technique, something like that. And, you know, just like a lot of people, you get invited to parties sometimes and you don't really know what the product is. Maybe you're not even really interested in it, but you go because it's your friend and mm-hmm. you want to support your friend. So my very first party that I went to, I remember thinking, okay, stamping. I wonder what this is all about. I had no idea. And I went, and I made the cards, and I thought it was pretty fun. But I wasn't 100% sure that I would have time for it because my kids were really tiny. I mean, I had a brand new baby.
It's like difficult.
Yes,
well, I was trying to be nice. Yeah. So my kids were really difficult. And I didn't know if I would have time for it. So I bought this huge set of stamps, and I remember it vividly. It was this big cluster of grapes. And I thought, what I'm going to do is I'm going to buy these stamps, and I'm going to buy some paint.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to do a grape border around my kitchen. I was inspired to do that. And then I got home, and I put the stamps in a drawer, and I didn't think about them again. And then probably about 6 months later, I got invited to another one of those parties from a different friend. And I thought, okay, this is a thing. And I went, and something hit me that time, and I was so inspired. And after the party, I ran home, and I started digging through all the drawers to find that original stamp set that I had purchased. And, a crazy stamper was born.
Mm-hmm. Lit fire to my daughter's tuition fund.
Yeah.
Yes. Bought out all the stamps.
Bought the stamps. Well, and then the demonstrator told me that if I bought the starter kit, and I wanted to become a demonstrator. I didn't even know how to stamp yet.
Mm-hmm.
And she said, if you want to become a demonstrator, you can do it just to get the discount.
That's so funny.
And I think a lot of people do that. They mm-hmm. they sign up because they want to feed their own habit and their own hobby. And so I did that. But then I really got the bug to teach. And so I would, you know, go to all the classes that I could take and go to every workshop that I could go to. And I really learned a lot. And I actually became a demonstrator. And I had pretty decent downline. I probably had about 60 or 70 people in my downline.
And that's awesome.
I'd earn the cruises and all that stuff. My kids went on quite a few cruises because of that company. It was great.
Mm-hmm.
And then at one point, they did change their career plan, and it just didn't work for me anymore, so I decided to change mine.
Nice, yeah. And I think that's really kind of inspiring to hear that you started just, at, like you said, a stamping party, because I think that's pretty common. And then the fact that you brought that to you being your own demonstrator, and I think that really shows a lot about you kind of going for yourself and really creating your own kind of career in that, which I think is awesome.
It was really fun, and everybody calls the stamping party, you know, kind of like the gateway drug to the crafting world. You kind of go and you're introduced to a little bit of it, and you fall in love with it.
Mm-hmm.
Much safer and much healthier, though,
yeah, definitely.
Right?
Well, not for your bank
not cheaper.
Account.
Yeah. Well, yeah, maybe. I don't know. I've never done a price comparison. But, and then I remember I was sitting on the beach. We were on a vacation, a family vacation, and I was sitting on the beach, and I drew my first stamps. They were going to be the first stamps that I drew. And I remember I drew a chicken. I drew a pig, and the pig was basically just a circle with two eyes and a pig nose and a squiggly tail. And a cow, so some farm animals, and I drew some beach things. Like I drew a crab, and I drew a lobster popping out of a pot. And I said to my husband, I said, "Do you think anybody would be interested in these as stamps?" And he said, "Well, they kind of look like those things that are in that catalog that's always in bed with us at night, where you're just reading the book all night." And I thought, I'm going to give it a try.
Mm-hmm.
So there was a local stamp show in Madison, and I signed up for a booth, and I had my stamps manufactured, and I brought three of each stamp. Mm-hmm. I had 28 designs, and I brought three of each.
You had 28 designs? So,
yes.
So you went right into it. Was that a little bit of time in between there then? So you had a little bit of time to manufacture
all of the different designs? Yeah, well, I think it was like the summer.
Okay.
And I knew that the show was coming up in the fall. So
awesome.
I drew 28 designs, and they were all woodblock stamps.
Oh, that's so cool.
Classic.
Yeah, and we used to actually index the woodblocks on our kitchen counter.
Oh,
I bought a Stazon ink pad because you could stamp on any hard surface with that. And I mounted one, and then I would stamp the image onto the woodblock. And So I had 28 designs, and I brought three of each. So I brought 90 stamps, about 90 stamps to the stamp show, and we sold out in the first hour.
Oh, that's amazing.
And I was like, oh, no, what am I going to do? So that night, we went home, and we had to hand-cut the stamps and
mm-hmm.
mount them on the woodblocks ourselves, and we stayed up all night making more of them. And the next day of the show, we sold those. And I thought, this could really kind of be a thing.
Yeah,
That's
really inspiring.
Yeah, it was really fun.
And I said manufacturing, but that's really cool that you got into it and did it on your kitchen counter and created your own stamps. I think that's really cool that you were able to, you know, draw out your own designs and do it at your house, you know, to start out with.
It was super fun. You know, our first, we actually bought a vulcanizer so we could vulcanize the rubber in our basement ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
And so
I remember that thing.
I didn't know what a vulcanizer was. I had to learn a lot really fast. And I asked some questions to a company that sold vulcanizers. And then there was a lady locally who manufactured rubber stamps, and she had this tiny tabletop vulcanizer. And she was selling one. And these vulcanizers haven't changed in boy, you know, probably 50 or 60 years. It's the same technology. So she had an old one that she didn't want anymore in her basement. And when I went to pick up this vulcanizer to buy it, it was a maybe like a 120-year-old schoolhouse that she was working out of. And I went in, and I'll never forget, I went in, and it was an old schoolhouse, so it had a kitchen where they made the lunches for the kids. And every cabinet door in the kitchen was open. And I kind of just looked at her, and she goes, "You're looking at my cabinet doors, aren't you?" And I said, "Yeah." I said, "What's going on here?" She said, "That's my ghosts." I said, "Your ghosts? Your ghosts?"
This has been great.
She said,
"I gotta go."
Yeah, this is an old haunted schoolhouse, and this is where my office is. And the first thing I'm thinking is, oh my goodness, I'm buying a piece of equipment from her. I hope it's not a haunted piece of equipment, you know?
Yeah, a ghost is attached.
Right? So I went down in the basement, and she goes, "I'll show you." I said, "No way, it's not haunted." She said, "No, I'll show you." So she closed every cabinet in the kitchen. And we went down in the basement to look at the vulcanizer. And when we came back upstairs, every cabinet was open again. And she said, "That's just my playful children. They like to open the cabinets." And I thought, oh, my goodness. It was creepy, but it was kind of cool, too, you know?
Yeah.
So then I bought the vulcanizer, and my husband went to pick it up because they're really heavy. They weigh a ton. And he went to pick it up, and then he brought it home, and he put it in our basement. And that is where we would go down at night when the kids were asleep, and we would press our own rubber, and then we would cushion it on an old sewing cutting board. We would cut the cushion, and we would hand cut the stamps, and we would mount them on the wood blocks all down in our basement.
That's awesome. And so what is a vulcanizer exactly?
A vulcanizer is a machine that presses the rubber. So it's got two plates that heat up to like, oh gosh, I'm going to say probably 300-400 degrees.
Oh my gosh.
And then you make a metal plate of your designs. Mm-hmm. And then you press that plate into what's called a matrix board. And the matrix board is the reverse image. So then you put this piece of rubber on the matrix board, and you put it into the machine, and then you put the two plates together, and it's just tons and tons of pressure.
It's like mm-hmm. a panini press. For
yeah. Yeah, like a grilled cheese maker
yeah.
or something.
Good analogy, yeah.
And you cook the rubber for like 10 minutes, and then you pull it out, and you peel the rubber off, and it vulcanizes that rubber into the new shape.
Oh, awesome.
I remember our house used to smell like rubber.
It was really
like
crazy.
All the time.
Yeah.
Like some people's houses smell like apple pie and like
no, not our house.
Happiness. No, that was our sweatshop in the basement.
So that was really we would do that in the basement at night when the kids were sleeping. And I started my online store. My first store was called stampingfreak.com.
That's awesome.
And so we would get orders, but you know, we would get a couple orders a week, you know, and I would go down at night when the kids were asleep and print the orders, and then we would make the stamps to order. We'd pack them up and then get them all ready for shipping out the next day, and then in the morning I would be back to being a mom. And I remember one night I was sitting down in the basement, and it was probably 11 o'clock at night, and I was on the computer printing the orders, and I heard in my ear, like it was almost like inside my head, and it was a voice, and it said, "Mommy." And I just jumped. I was like, "Rena," because I thought it was you. Because when Rena was little, she was so tiny, and she would just show up. She would just like be there. Like it seemed like she would appear, and it was just because she was so tiny and so she just stepped so softly.
And there were times where I'd come down in the basement and just not make a sound. I remember one time you jumped because I was sitting there.
Yeah, because she just
she looked up and I was sitting there, and she yelled, and then I started to cry because I felt bad. It was a family meeting later.
I said, "You have to make noise when you enter the room."
Yeah, so I knew the rule.
Yeah, so I got really mad. I'm like, "Rena." And I turned around, there was no Rena.
Oh my gosh.
So I went upstairs, and my husband was sitting on the couch watching TV. And I said, Where's Rena? And he said, asleep, I think. And I said, "Well, where's Alicia?" And he said, They're up in bed. They were in bed like 2 hours ago. I'm like, I think Rena was just downstairs. So I went upstairs, tiptoed up there, and I opened both of their doors, sound asleep. I was so afraid to go back downstairs. I was like, I'm not going back downstairs mm-hmm. anymore. There's something, something came with that vulcanizer
yeah,
from that school.
The ghost.
And I always felt uncomfortable down there. So we called our pastor of our church, and we told him the story. And he gave my husband a special prayer to say. And so I didn't know about it. Mm-hmm. And that he gave my husband this prayer. So I was out somewhere, and my husband went down, and he kind of did this
Dad's
prayer.
Down there with fire. Blessing the house. Sage.
Yeah, just put all the sage down there.
Come on, honey, what are you doing?
Nothing.
No, he went down there, and he did the prayer, and then I remember that night, I came home, and I went downstairs, and I came upstairs, and I said, Tom, that room feels completely different down there. It just
That's
feels
crazy.
Like I used to be so afraid to be down in that basement, and it feels totally good down there. And he goes, well, I wasn't going to say anything, but he said, I called Pastor John, and he gave me a prayer to say, and maybe we moved that little spirit on.
Mm-hmm.
And it was never a problem again.
Want to watch you make some stamps.
Oh, goodness.
That's so funny because, like, in college, my friends and I would hang out, and their apartment in Minnesota, it always felt like there was another person there, just by the way the hallway felt. Like, it doesn't matter how many people you had in there, it always felt like there was another person there. And I don't think it was haunted, but it just, the layout of the apartment was weird. So instead of being paranoid and feeling weird, we decided to just name that entity. So we named it Tim. And so, like, other people that have never heard of him would come over, and they'd be like, is there another person here? And we'd be like, oh, no, that's Tim.
Oh, my
God. Tim. And they'd be like, who's Tim? And we sounded crazy. We'd be like, no, Tim just wants to hang out and listen to what we say. He just wants to hang out. He's a shy guy. He's just lurking over there. But, you know, Tim, there was no prayer I could say to get rid of Tim.
No.
Unfortunately.
I don't know if it was just my imagination, and it very well could have been. But our pastor of our church seemed to think that you just don't know. You know, mm-hmm. So he just decided that I'll give you a prayer to say, and it worked. So it was a good thing.
Yeah, nice. And then you were able to go down there and keep making your stamps, and
yeah, and
that's
it was totally
awesome.
Fine. Yeah, because I crafted down in the basement and stuff, mm-hmm. And nobody wants a haunted craft room,
yeah.
Right?
No,
yeah.
That's probably the worst.
I have to say that there are days where I think my craft room is haunted just because of the cards that I make and
or the mess.
You're
just
mess,
like,
yeah.
I couldn't have used this much. Come on.
There's got to be another person here. So the real trick to coloring with Gamsol is what I like to do. I mean, I don't ever claim to be an artist.
Mm-hmm.
My goal when I shade is to make sure that there are lights and darks. That's all. I don't know where light's coming from. I don't really care where light's coming from.
Yeah.
I just want it to look like it's got a little bit of dimension.
Yeah, physics does not apply
no,
to my
it doesn't.
Person.
Definitely not to mine either. But what I like to do is I just like to lay down that nice heavy color on the perimeter. And then one of the things is to make sure that you file your blending stump when they're brand new to make them more porous. So I always like to, I'll take a dry one here. Oh, they're all wet.
They're all wet.
This one's not so bad. So you can see there's some color on this one. What I like to do is I like to just sand off the color using a file, and it also kind of helps you get a new point again. And it makes it more porous, so it'll absorb more of the Gamsol liquid. And then I see people do this where they just kind of dip the pen in and they think, or mm-hmm. the blending stump in, and they think it's enough. You actually have to hold it in there for a minute and let some of that Gamsol pull up into the blending stump. And then instead of going next to it, I see a lot of people go next to it and they're like, why isn't this color blending? You actually have to put the blending stump onto the color, and that softens the wax in the color, and then it starts to move. And then I just keep going over it in circular motions, and I work my way toward the center, and that just kind of creates that lighter spot in the center. And if you just keep doing that, it gets lighter and lighter and lighter as you go.
Hmm. So that looks amazing. Yeah, I was one of those little dip and run, but now you got to hold it in there. And
you can't dip and run.
Slam dunking.
I absolutely love coloring these. These are great stamps if you want to color. Absolutely. Look at your cute little... Look what he did over here. Look how
the
cute that is.
Looks better than mine. So literally every time I sit next to this kid. If you could craft / stamp with anyone in the world, alive or dead, who would it be?
Wow.
Besides us.
Besides us, of course.
Well,
yeah.
Gosh, yeah. That was going to be my answer. Two. You guys. Wow. Anybody? Well, you know, I have some really good friends in the industry that for years when I was first starting out, I had always wanted to meet and be able to craft with them, and I've had that opportunity to craft with them, and it's really fun to see the way people craft. And you guys know that, like, Jennifer McGuire is one of my best friends.
Yeah, I've heard of her. The picture of her in my drawer right now.
And it's just fun to watch, like, her and Christina Warner and Kathy Rakusin. And it's just fun to watch them craft because I watched them for years, way back. And it's just fun to watch how they actually craft in real life. I think there's quite a few people that are celebrities that do craft. I would imagine that there are. It's such a stress-relieving type of activity.
Mm-hmm.
And I've seen a few. There's been a few celebrity people out of Creativation, and I think possibly Tori Spelling was one of them that had a line at one point. No, it wasn't. You know who it was? I think it was Paris Hilton.
Oh, that's awesome.
Paris Hilton had a scrapbooking
That is
hit.
Bizarre, because yeah. I saw her DJ at Summerfest. Talk about...
This is a woman that can
a
do
woman
anything.
That,
multi-talented.
Yeah,
right?
The
yeah.
queen of all trades.
Yeah. Yeah.
Gets done crafting and heads right up to her DJ booth.
Right, yeah. Right up to her DJ booth, yeah.
When you have a DJ set at 7 but a wedding in the morning.
Yeah, but like you were saying, I think that's like really cool, and a lot of our viewers can probably relate to that. You were saying, you know, you craft with a lot of your friends like Jennifer and Christina, and I love that because I think there's so many like close, our industry is such a tight-knit community that like even people online can meet each other that are around them in Facebook groups and at different events and kind of find those people and then craft along with them too, which I think is really cool.
Yeah, it's absolutely, that's the beauty of this industry is mm-hmm. that people in this industry, even if they've been making YouTube videos for a long time, I think I was one of the first YouTubers. Mm-hmm. I really do, because my first video, here's a little interesting fact, my first YouTube video that I made, I uploaded onto something called Google Video.
There wasn't, history lesson
there wasn't
for you
YouTube
guys.
Yet. It was Google Video, and Google Video ultimately became YouTube.
Huh.
And so, it, you know, that's kind of fun. But I've been doing it for a long time. But I think what happens to all of us that do this for a living, we make our living by making videos for people and developing products and stuff. For a long time in the industry, we didn't really know each other. Because mm-hmm. you're kind of working from a cubicle. And
yeah.
you're just kind of home doing your thing. Or in your studio
in
doing your thing.
In your haunted basement.
In your haunted basement, yeah.
The vulcanizing stage.
Yeah.
And now I'm seeing more and more what I love. I see collaborations. I mm-hmm. see companies getting together. I see influencers getting together and getting to know each other and developing friendships. And those friendships, they help each other. They teach each other. And the industry is better because of it all.
Mm-hmm. I totally agree with that. I think it's really cool. And that's one of the main reasons why I love this industry is because, you know, nobody's, like, really enemies with each other. We're all kind of working together and, you know, your business kind of helps ours and different things like that. That's kind of, you know, the way that they look at it with the collaborations and those friendships that they bring together are really awesome. And I think you recently just did a stamp set with Jennifer to help the hurricane funds, which I think is so awesome and so sweet that you were able to do that with her and kind of bring both of your audiences together to support that really great cause too, which I think is really cool.
Well, thank you. Yeah, we're really excited about that. Mm-hmm. And if anybody listening to the podcast hasn't heard about that, Jennifer McGuire and I had been texting each other quite a bit when that hurricane was just laying over the Bahamas. Jennifer has such a huge heart,
yeah.
and she is so passionate about the Caribbean and the people in the Caribbean and in the Bahamas. She just has – that's a very special place in her heart. And mine, too, because I actually lived in the Caribbean for a while.
That's cool.
Way before kids.
Yeah.
Yeah, we lived
too
in
bad.
St. Thomas.
Yeah, I know.
And we were actually in St. Thomas – So I'll just tell you a little bit about my prior life before I was a crafter. I met my husband in the music industry, and Tom and I played music in a band. And one of the places that we played was in St. Thomas. We played in a beautiful hotel there, and we were booked there for several months. And we lived there on and off for about 3 or 4 years because we would keep going down there, and they had what they called a band house. Now, a band house is a place that nobody should ever want to live.
Very, very dangerously close to homeless.
Yeah, it's one step up. Yeah, it really is. It is usually where they house the musicians is not the same as the beautiful resort that you see. Mm-hmm. This was kind of a, well, it was a step up from a hut. But it was
not quite a shack. Yeah.
It actually had a door that closed and locked, but it was pretty bad. And I remember being there when there were really, just really bad rains. Mm-hmm. And that was scary enough as it is because you're just surrounded by water.
Yeah.
And there's nowhere for that water to go.
There's nowhere to go.
You know, all kidding aside, we were booked there in the summer. And it was really fun. We had a really great time there, and we really wanted to stay on. This was back in the days we were super young and didn't have a lot of money and didn't have a lot of gigs. So after that gig was over, I talked to the entertainment director, and I said, gosh, can we stay on for a couple more months? And he said, absolutely, we would love to have you. And then it was actually our last night, and he came to us, and he said, I am so sorry, but our other entertainment director already booked another band, and we can't use you guys. Well, Tom and I had nowhere to go, and we certainly couldn't afford to live in the islands in any kind of decent way. Mm-hmm. So we booked a flight, and we went back home to our families. 1 week after we left, Hurricane Andrew wiped out mm-hmm. St. Thomas. There wasn't a leaf or a blade of grass left on that island.
Yeah, that's just, it's absolutely devastating to hear, you know, those things that happen. And I think if I can anywhere, I think on the podcast site too and on YouTube, I can link to that stamp set where they can go purchase that, which I think is really awesome. So if you guys want to check out that stamp set, be sure to check if you're on YouTube, the link's down below. If you're on the podcast, there should be a place for me to put links, and be sure to check that out because that's a really awesome cause to support.
Yeah, we're excited about it. I asked Jennifer what she wanted the theme to be, and of course she said kindness mm-hmm. because that's Jennifer's heart. And then I thought, well, why don't we add some tropical flowers to just honor that beautiful tropical nation? And so we came up with the Love and Kindness stamp set. And so far we've already raised over
$10,000. That's amazing.
Yeah,
wow.
It hasn't been really awesome. Yeah. So we're really excited about it. And we're really honored to be in a position that we can make a difference.
Mm-hmm. Definitely. I think it's really cool that you're able to now, with your business that's been growing a ton, to be able to kind of give back a little bit like that. I think that's so cool. And for everybody who does purchase that stamp set, you get a stamp set too. So you're able to support that good cause, but still have something tangible to craft with and create with as a reminder that you're kind of helping that out, which I think is really cool.
It's a win-win. Mm-hmm. You get some fun new stuff, and you've also made a difference. And honestly, I say, you know, I feel blessed that I'm able to make a difference. I'm not the one making the difference. I made the stamp set. Mm-hmm. It's everybody that purchased the stamp set the die set that's making a difference. So thank you all out there mm-hmm. if you are one of those people.
So, Mom, next question. Who is your favorite child?
My favorite child?
Mm-hmm.
Simon.
Don't get any respect on this show. I can make a PowerPoint.
Where to 10 reasons why I'm the favorite.
I actually made a PowerPoint for my mom when I got the dog, Mishi. And it was because I didn't want to tell her that I was getting a dog. And the PowerPoint originally was planning on asking her if I could get the dog. But I had already paid for
Yeah, she was
the dog,
halfway through the PowerPoint, and I said, did you already buy this dog?
And I'm like, don't rush ahead of the presentation, and the last slide was his picture. So I was like, ta-da! All worked out.
And I think a lot of you guys might want to know, too, kind of, Gina, where are you kind of now, and how did you get kind of to this place where you are now with Gina K Designs, which I think is kind of really awesome. You've built that really cool kind of crafting empire around you with all your awesome products and different cardstocks and stamp sets, and you really bring a lot of creative products to the table, which I think is really great.
Well, thank you. You know, the way that I got to where I am now is because I have such an incredible customer base and fan base. Mm-hmm. I mean, the people that support Gina K Designs, that they're the reason that I can produce my next stamp set. I like to think that videos have helped, mm-hmm. because I think when there's a new product out there, it's really fun to be able to watch a video and get ideas and see how to use
Definitely.
It. So I did start making videos a very long time ago, and that has helped grow the business quite a bit. But I just have to give all the credit to the wonderful people that have been my customers. And I have so many customers that they'll recollect a stamp set that is, gosh, 10 years old,
That's
11
amazing.
Years old, and they'll say, oh, I have that kit, or I have that stamp set, and I think, wow, they've been with me for so long, they're mm-hmm. so loyal, and they're so dedicated, and I'm just really blessed to have that kind of customer base.
Yeah, definitely, and I think your videos definitely do help that. You kind of show that really awesome personality, and you were one of, like you said, the first to do that with your face and your hands, and you really kind of, I think, brought people into your home, which I think made them feel kind of super connected to that, which is really great too.
Well, I really wanted to do that. That was something that when I started doing the videos, I thought the one thing that I would really like to do is to be able to connect with people and feel like we're stamping together. So mm-hmm. It's good to hear that that was the feeling that you got from that.
Yeah,
so
definitely.
That's cool.
You were one of the first people that I watched. I saw Jennifer and Christina's videos, and then right after you as well. And you're super inspiring, super professional, and really created some great tutorials, and I learned a lot from all of you guys, which is really great.
Oh, well, thank you. Thank you so much.
Definitely.
Well, your videos are pretty awesome, too, and I have to tell both of you that both of you, that I am, first of all, I'm really excited about this podcast, because I think that this kind of takes some of the pressure off of the viewer.
Mm-hmm.
It's really neat to be able to just sit and listen to you guys talk, and then having guests on your show is really fun, because it's just a different part of the industry.
Mm-hmm.
We have tons and tons of great tutorials, and you both have great channels that provide that. But it's really neat to be able to just sit and hear about your lives, about your guests' lives. It's a great idea. And I also think that it's pretty awesome that you guys are young and you know, you've found each other to work together.
Thank God.
And you know, you're.
Excuse me.
Thank you. You're really dragging some new young kids into crafting, and you guys are making it really cool.
Thank you very much.
That's the goal.
Yeah.
It is, and I think with this podcast too, we're kind of opening up a little bit more, which I think is really cool. And like you said, a totally new side of the industry. So instead of, you know, getting a complete tutorial, which we'll definitely still be doing, by the way,
mm-hmm.
These are kind of really fun videos where you get to know not only us, but some really awesome people in the industry. And we're so happy to have you on the podcast today for our first episode, or second episode, because with a guest.
Yeah, well, that's really...
It's our first guest-bearing
mm-hmm.
episode.
Well, and it's really fun because... what's nice about this is it can be a podcast, because we're having fun and we're coloring, and I know there are probably some people out there watching it right now that are like, oh, I didn't know how to use Gamsol that way, or oh, that color combination is nice. But for the people that are listening, it doesn't really matter what we're doing.
Mm-hmm.
It's just talking and learning more about each other.
Definitely.
Yeah, as you were saying about how great the customer base is, I've never met nicer people than mm-hmm. the people in the stamping industry. I mean... Jessie, this woman that she calls...
Jessie Hansen.
Jessie Hansen's...
Hi, Jessie, if you're watching.
Hello, Jessie. Oh, she is. she will say, I'm your aunt.
Yep.
And I remember once she messaged me, she was like, what do you want for food, for finals food? I was like, what?
Finals food?
Oh,
college?
Excuse me?
She
sent me a care package of like a bunch of snacks
so
and
sweet.
Stuff. I was just like,
wow.
Gosh, like that is the nicest woman. And like, that's how a lot of people in the industry are.
Mm-hmm.
And I think what's really fun about this is that we want to invite you guys to submit questions and leave comments for things for us to discuss or answer in these podcasts, because we want to get to know you guys and connect with you guys, just like you hopefully are listening to Gina K talk about herself and listen to us talk about ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
So we're trying to all come together and get to know each other more.
Absolutely. Yeah, that makes it fun. That makes it more fun. I always enjoy watching the creators that I've already met once or twice
mm-hmm.
Because I know a little bit more about who they are.
Yeah, definitely.
And it just makes it, it's just a fun, a fun thing. Mm-hmm. Wow, these look great.
Yeah, you guys did awesome
really
coloring.
Fun.
You too.
Super fun.
Yeah, it was super fun to kind of pull out that camsole and work with that. And I also wanted to mention, too, I think you can do it with most colored pencils. Because I remember when I first started, I was insanely broke. And I did it with Crayola colored pencils. So just kind of bringing what you have in with kind of those tools, and you can still create some really awesome stuff with it, which I think is awesome.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. Any wax-based pencil will work. Even crayons will work with mm-hmm. Gamsol. So if you're if you went overboard on the school supplies and you got a couple extra boxes of those 18-cent crayons.
This girl went crazy in the school supplies section. We both did.
I love school supplies. I really do. But yeah, any kind of colored pencils. In fact, one of my very first tutorials was Crayola pencils.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. They work really nice.
They do,
them.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely.
All right, thank you guys so much for joining us and watching if you're on YouTube or listening if you're on the podcast app. We really hope you enjoyed this second episode of our podcast with Gina Kay. Thank you so much for joining us once again.
Rena Kay. Sorry.
And Rena Kay. But with guest Gina Kay. We really enjoyed chatting with you guys. Be sure to give this video a big thumbs up and be sure to hit that subscribe button down below and check out Rena's channel as well. And I'll also have Gina's channel and website over in the links down below and on the podcast as well.
And I really appreciate Simon linking the new Love and Kindness stamp set for hurricane relief. And just so you guys know, 100% of the net profits are going to the Global Empowerment Mission. You could check out their website at theglobalempowermentmission.com or .org, but maybe you can link that
too. I'll
have
links down below.
Yeah.
We'll double check. So thanks again for watching, and we'll see you guys in the next one.
Bye.
Bye.